Good morning. Welcome to The Morning Show with community news and public affairs from the Center. I'm Ron Fruit. Today, we talk consumer protection. On a monthly basis, it's our privilege to be able to check in with Michelle Reinen at Wisconsin's Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Michelle has worked in consumer protection for many, many years and is an advocate for all of us, helping us wade through a world with lots of challenges and all sorts of threats just waiting in our doorstep. But with a few simple suggestions and ideas, we can certainly make a big difference in where we're at as far as our own personal safety is concerned, and that's certainly appropriate as we approach the holiday season. It hardly seems possible, Michelle, that we've moved through another year and it's time to talk about the holidays, but it is. I think in many ways it's been a very good year for you, hasn't it, as you've tried to alert consumers and keep them posted on how they can stay safe?
Exactly. We have worked really hard to make sure consumers are informed and aware of the different situations that are out there. I mean, certainly we know that people are looking at quote, Black Friday sales, and those aren't the day after Thanksgiving anymore. They are happening months and months in advance, and people are looking for those great deals. And it comes down to making sure they identify a great deal versus a scam, and we want to make sure that consumers can recognize the difference between the two.
Life has changed a lot, hasn't it, my friend?
Yeah, they certainly have. I mean, companies are always looking for those new opportunities to attract consumers, especially during this holiday season. And consumers will be able to find deals online and in stores now through the end of the year, again, with those sales starting sooner. So the first thing we want to be sure is that everyone reviews a vendor's policy for returns, refunds, exchanges, shipping and handling, and do that before you make your purchase so you're comfortable. That's just some basic, you know, shopping tips, if you will. And then take note of safety information when you're doing your holiday shopping, especially when we're talking about tools and toys. Toys and other gifts for kids, look for that age grading and labeling, safety verifications that they've been tested to meet particular standards like UL, Underwriters Laboratory, or ASTM, the American Society for Testing and Materials. That's going to go a long way in trying to make sure your toys are safe.
That certainly fits, too, with cribs and car seats, doesn't it, Michelle?
Absolutely. I mean, cribs is something you want to keep watch on, and car seats, you're also going to want to look at the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, or NHTSA, standards and what's out there. And then always, if you can, you know, you might want to wrap those presents early. That's great. But take note, you know, take a photo of them, or, you know, write down the information and check for recalls before you give the gift. You know, do that last minute verification and check to be sure that the items you're giving haven't been recalled by the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, because we certainly see those last minute right before holiday recalls and then following the holidays for things that aren't working, you know, quite as should be. Maybe it's been identified that items are missing safety labeling, or maybe there's been some additional testing and some things are falling apart and become a hazard for the recipient, and we want to be sure that those gifts aren't being delivered, that they're being returned to the stores, and that consumers are getting whatever the recall adjustment is on those.
Let's say that something I really want, I see a great price for, but when I put it in my cart, be it in the store or online, the price isn't the same. Should I be concerned, Michelle?
Well, that's going to depend. When you're shopping in store, you need to know whether the sale prices apply only to limited hours, sizes, models, colors, or maybe to online shopping only, or the reverse. Maybe they only apply to in-store sales. So you need to look at the details and be sure that the lowest posted price for an item is being honored and that you are meeting the criteria for that lowest advertised price. So be sure that you address that with the sales clerk at the point of sale when you're making that purchase and then getting that adjusted price. And if not, reporting that to Consumer Protection.
I just really appreciated the words that your website and notes use to politely ask for a check.
Yeah, there's no sense in getting all upset, and raising your own blood pressure and getting frustrated. Just, you know, bring it to their attention. get the adjustment. You can always choose not to make the purchase if they won't make the adjustment, or purchase it for the price and file that consumer complaint or take it up to management at customer service. But you know, again, take a photo of the shelf or be sure you're bringing your ads with you if they're paper, taking screenshots of websites if you're seeing great deals so you have the documentation that you're going to need to have that conversation.
Gift receipts are always a good idea, aren't they?
Gift receipts are a great idea. you know, when you're asking for that, and be sure you do ask for that. It's a non-itemized receipt if you're not familiar with it, but it's what's going to help the gift recipient get the full value of the item that you've purchased back, whether that be for an in-store credit or for a cash or charge back to your credit card. But it then keeps some of the information private, if you will, from the recipient, which you may like, but it also divides out the gifts and allows for that easy return as long as that store has a return policy.
Are rain checks still a thing we deal with today, Michelle?
They certainly can be. So a rain check is something you're going to want to ask for on a discounted item if it is out of stock. That means that when they get a restock, they'll honor that price. But if it is a result of limited quantities or a particular model, they may not provide rain checks for that price. So it's worth the ask.
Buying gift cards, you've talked with us a lot about that, Michelle. You have some tips for us as we approach the holidays, I assume, as well.
Yeah, if you're buying a gift card in person, you're there at a kiosk, make sure that those protective stickers or scratch-offs haven't been tampered with and that PIN number is not exposed. Read any fine print on it so you know if there's going to be deactivation fees if the card's not used for a while. Make sure that you get an activation receipt that you can hand over to the gift recipient. So if they have trouble with the card, everyone knows when it was activated and can look at the history. But again, you want to be careful when purchasing these. If you're looking to purchase online, make sure that you are comfortable with the website, that you know that you're going to be getting a gift card directly from that retailer, if you will, versus maybe a swap site where you can't be confident in the full value of the card.
You also, if you're the recipient of a gift card, should really use it right away, shouldn't you?
That is our best advice because a store can go out of business. You can lose your gift card and then you have nothing. If the card does is subject to inactivity fees, the value of it could deplete over time if you're just hanging on to it. So it is a good idea to use those cards as quickly and as soon as possible.
Can we trust QR codes today, Michelle?
You know, that's something you really want to take a look at. Make sure that a QR code hasn't been tampered with. These are a great way for in-store sales or discounts to be promoted to shoppers, and just scan the QR code and you can get this discount. But it's also a way that scammers can get individuals to go to imposter websites and collect your personal information. And when we've seen that, a sticker has been placed over the top of a real QR code, and so a little legitimate business is being impersonated there. So take a close look at it. If you see any tampering with a QR code or sign, talk to personnel at the store. Maybe they had a damaged QR code and they put the stickers there themselves, but they should have awareness and make sure that it's reported so they can prevent scammers from invading their stores as well.
Well, let's shift gears. I know that there will be those who will shop online. Some tips that you can share with us this holiday season?
Yeah, again, we just came out of Cybersecurity Month in October. So the first thing we want people to do when shopping online is be sure that that device is up to date before shopping. So if you don't have that, you know, auto update set, go ahead and make sure that your computer is fully protected from viruses and malware by doing that update. And then, you know, really be conscious and avoid using public Wi-Fi to make transactions. so you aren't using a potential man-in-the-middle website or getting scammed by a fake Wi-Fi hotspot there at a store. So those are the first things that we want you to do. And then always ensure that a website is legitimate. Before giving any personal or payment information, know that scammers can impersonate those websites, make it look like a real company, and just be there collecting your information, and you end up with nothing. So be sure that you're at that legitimate website, not an imposter site, and that you are comfortable with the website. Check the store out as well to be sure that you're not getting this great deep discounted deal that no one else is able to find and get on the hottest items. And really, the store doesn't exist, and you're never going to receive an item, but you're going to be handing over your information.
I think one of the challenges, Michelle, is that every website's cart is just a little bit different. The buttons, the layout, the information that's asked, I mean, that's a challenge in itself. So you really need to look at your cart carefully, don't you?
You do. And sometimes you think you're at checkout when really you're just at your cart. And so it can be very confusing. And I have certainly been confused. And the smaller the device you're operating on, I feel like the more confusing it can be because you're only seeing that small portion of the information and need to scroll to get the complete picture. So be aware of that. Make sure your cart is correct before finalizing a purchase. Check your products, their sizes, color, model, quantities. Be sure those discounts are marked down. Know if they're going to appear in the cart or at checkout. You know, before you hit that purchase, submit, finalize, whatever their keyword is to complete the transaction, be sure all the information is accurate, again, before you hit submit. And one thing I also do is I wait to clear to the next screen until I get that confirmation email about my purchase, or I at least take a screenshot of the information if I'm moving on and delete that screenshot once I get that confirmation email and align that all the information is correct.
Well, if we'll follow all this advice, it can be the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah, it certainly can. And, you know, you can get that shopping done and just enjoy family and friends and, you know, the gift wrapping portion of the holidays.
Well, let's move ahead. This Friday will be Veterans Day. Consumer Protection has always taken a strong interest in our veterans, Michelle.
Yeah, we certainly do. DadCap wants to honor Veterans Day and Military Family Month, which is also during November. We want consumers to keep current on the scams that are out there trying to defraud both active duty personnel and their friends and families. So troops, veterans, their families should never have to worry about being targeted by scammers, but unfortunately they are. And the Federal Trade Commission, or the FTC, reports that they're scammed at more than twice the rate of regular civilians. And these bad actors or scammers, as we often refer to them, exploit and take advantage of their unique lifestyle, culture, and guaranteed income and benefits, their close-knit relationship with trusted organizations and other service members, and sometimes even the physical and mental health conditions that can come from service. So we want there to be full awareness of this so others can help support these active duty personnel as well as their families to keep them away from scammers and have those conversations.
Are there some tips or suggestions you would have for veterans and the families of veterans to avoid these kind of situations, Michelle?
Yeah, so I think the best tip is to be aware of the different kinds of scams that are out there. And again, they target military families by claiming to be a military or government official and requesting money or personal information. And the scammers say that the families deployed member of the family has been injured. Maybe they lost their wallets or facing a travel delay, and the military will never contact families asking for money or personal information. I think that's the first tip. So know that that is just a scam that circulates out there. We see advertising for rental housing near military bases for great prices, maybe even a discount for military families. But if the housing provider asks for money before the family can even see the unit, that's a scam. And again, that's usually an online type situation. If we see situations of selling rare or expensive goods online with too good to be true discounts for Veterans Day or military service members and families in general. There are a lot of companies out there that do discounts year-round for military or do have extended discounts on Veterans Day or Veterans Week, really, and that's a wonderful thing. But we see those scammers out there as well, and it might relate to tickets, cars, appliances, other memorabilias and offerings that exist. And so just really check out the company you're dealing with to be sure that the offer is true and legitimate, as to opposed to someone just trying to, again, take advantage of a situation out there and collect the money and not deliver any goods. And then we also see situations regarding government benefits, funding grants, and soliciting for charitable donations to help support troops, veterans, and their families. Many of these organizations are legitimate, but of course, because people want to honor and support our military, we see scammers take advantage of that and try and divert those funds to these, quote, scam charities, if you will.
I think it was really scary in the news last week, Michelle, and I think it was in Madison, but where we've heard oftentimes of like the grandparent scam and other things. But in this case, it was an older couple, and the scammer actually came to their door to collect the money.
Yeah, and that is something to definitely keep on guard about. If someone asks you to pay directly to them rather than to the organization, that certainly is a red flag. If someone is so aggressive as to show up as opposed to just, you know, send you the information in the mail, that should be, concerning as well. And you don't have to present your personal information to get them to hang up. Just hang up the phone in those cases.
Well, it'd be nice to give all scams in the winter the cold shoulder, but unfortunately the cold opens the doors for scammers, doesn't it?
Yeah, that was great. I like
that.
Thank you. utility scams are certainly something that happens this time of year because that weather flips on a dime here in Wisconsin, and we've seen quite the yo-yo this year already. And so with the cold months approaching, and we know that they are coming, scammers are going to try and take advantage of that and threaten disconnection of utilities due to late payments, maybe incorrect filed documents, or find some other excuses and demand that you pay immediately. They go so far in the scam as to describe that a work truck is en route to do the disconnection and give you a work order number unless you, again, make that payment right away over the phone, by either a gift card, wiring money, or some kind of non-traceable, transfer of funds that you would have. So certainly be sure that you don't fear this scam. Just hang up and disconnect on it. It is not the way that the utility companies operate in our state. We also have a moratorium during the winter months where utilities cannot be shut off from November 1st until April 15th. And if you are behind in your utility payments, contact your utility company to work out a payment plan or see what kind of support and services may be available to you to help make those payments. But they're not going to just come and do a disconnection, and they certainly won't do it by phone.
There are some energy assistance programs that can help, aren't there?
There certainly are. So the governor, Governor Evers, recently announced an additional $16.6 million will be made available to the Wisconsin Home Energy Assistance Program and the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund. So eligibility is based on household income size and energy costs, but residents can apply at energybenefit.wi.gov. And it's worth making that contact to see if you're eligible. And if you're not, inquire about what other opportunities may be available for you. And again, contacting your local utility company, they're going to be aware of different resources available to you if you need assistance as well, because they're not in the business of doing disconnections. They want to help support people.
Michelle Reinen is our guest on the program today from Wisconsin's Consumer Protection. Michelle, we talked about Black Friday and getting ready for the holidays, but it's also a good time to talk about the charitable side of the holidays. Many people use the holidays and the end of the year to make charitable gifts, and I think everybody who does wants to make sure those gifts go where they're intended.
Yeah, some individuals give the gift of charity to recipients, making donations in honor of individuals and in people's names. There's a whole day dedicated, Giving Tuesday, after Thanksgiving, and this is a time to encourage giving back to our communities and those in need. And we know that these legitimate charities do great work. And because of that, and because they're successful at receiving and funds and doing fundraising, scammers try and mimic them and take that money and run with it, as opposed to it ending up with the charity. So watch out for those lookalikes or imposter websites. If you are going to be giving to a charity that you do every year, go through your process of giving to that charity as you always would. Don't respond to an email link, because that could lead you down a path to an imposter website. It could look like it's from the legitimate charity you always do business with, but it very well could be a scammer email. So you don't need to use the links that come in websites. Watch for spellings of charities within their names and web addresses. That misspelling, maybe there's a zero used for an O instead, and so that URL could be typed wrong, paying attention to that. Those phishing emails, again, paying attention to the phony charity emails that could come. And not only will they take your funds if you click on the link and get to that website, it could load malicious software onto your computer and cause damage down the road. And then, again, as we talked about with the veteran scams, never write out a check or give cash to an individual solicitor who may be coming door to door. Always make any funds you want to give directly out to the charity itself. You can also use a credit card to make payment directly to a charity as well.
Well, you've always given us some tools and promoted tools that we can use to determine whether or not the charity we want to support is legit, Michelle.
Yeah, and in this case, we do have a couple of different tools. You can start your search to research a charity at charitynavigator.org or give.org. Both websites provide contact information and background data on charities, and they can provide insights into how the organizations spend their donations. And this is going to be incredibly valuable if you're looking at giving to a different charity this year or adding to your giving portfolio, if you will. So be sure you do that research. And then you can also verify that the charity is registered with the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions by going to WDFI.org. That's the state website. And then you'd look for charitable organizations there. And they do have the list of those charities that are registered in our state that are eligible to solicit for donations. So again, another great resource to be sure that you are dealing with a legitimate upfront charity.
Well, in the time we have left, Michelle, let's hit your scam spotlight. This is an incredible story.
Yeah, so DadCap recently received a complaint from a consumer who was contacted by a scammer, and they were pretending to be a familiar company's customer service representative. What happened is that the scammer claimed they accidentally wired the consumer a $100,000 refund and accused the consumer of stealing. They threatened the consumer with legal and financial consequences and demanded that they wire the $100,000 back to the company. And the consumer was unable to contact the real company's customer service line, so they were fearful, and they then sent the $100,000 to the specified account that was given to them during the phone call. Nearly a week later, the consumer called the impersonated company about the incident and learned, and now we're talking the legitimate company, and they learned that their email list had recently been hacked. And what happened was there was a data breach that had occurred, which exposed the private data of this consumer and others, and they were then an easy target for these scammers. And so despite international law enforcement efforts, their $100,000 was unable to be recovered. And the companies affected by the data breach are required by law to inform consumers in a timely manner. But because of the overlap of this breach in that timely manner, they had not yet been, you know, contacted about the data breach. So the consumer wasn't really on guard in relation to this company. So we want to be sure that consumers are aware that data breaches impacting large companies can affect you individually. Sometimes it can be identity theft and the use of your personal information, and sometimes it can be that they target you directly as part of a scam, as this one describes. And other times it can be just using your password and your account information, if that's what they've gotten a hold of, and changing that. So we need consumers to just be on the lookout for those red flags and use the tools that we've, you know, informed everyone of to monitor and keep track of their personal information. Get your free annual credit report from the credit reporting agencies to be sure you don't have unexplained activity there. Check your statement of benefits when you receive those from healthcare providers or other types of insurance to be sure that that's your activity. Look at your credit card bills to be sure there isn't anything suspicious there. And when you get goofy phone calls out of the blue, verify them and don't act until they have been verified.
Good time to talk about a credit freeze, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. So a credit freeze is something that is free to you as a consumer. You can put it on each of the three credit reporting agencies to be sure you are locking down your credit reports and that no one can take extensions of credit out in your name. You'll get a PIN and a password that you need to use if you ever want to go get your own extension of credit, but it prevents scammers from being able to use your information to, use your information to take advantage.
Well, based on the advice that you've given, Michelle, we've had ours frozen, and recently we needed to do something where we needed to make a change, so we actually put in a 10-day thaw, and then they automatically froze again.
Yeah, that is one of the great aspects of putting a security freeze on or a credit freeze on, is that when dealing with your lender, you can identify and pinpoint which of the three credit reporting agencies they're going to want to access for that credit report, and go ahead and put that thaw on because it gives you that little window of time, and then it locks it right back down. You don't have to take that step again to do anything.
Well, let's recap what we need to do. Hopefully we're not, and no one listening will be a victim of a scam. But if we are, we need to set pride aside and help our neighbor by reporting it to you.
Absolutely. And you can do that on our website at datcp.wi.gov or call the Wisconsin Consumer Protection Hotline at DADCAP 1-800-422-7128.
Michelle, it's great to have you on the air. Best wishes for a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll look forward to our December visit.
Thank you. Same to you and your listeners.
It's our hope that even one of the tips or suggestions that Michelle has provided today will serve you well. Michelle Reinen has been our guest from Wisconsin's Department of Consumer Protection. The Wisconsin Consumer Protection Hotline is toll-free. It is 1-800-422-7128. That's 1-800-422-7128. Or you can visit datcp.wi.gov.